age 38, 39, the Midah, the Rebbe is talking about the Midah of Tmimus, of Pshitus, of sincerity and of being simple. And he's speaking about the obstacles that are preventing us from being Tmimus Dik and being able to be people of Pashtus. And we were discussing at great length last week the difficulty that people have recognizing themselves, since they're used to a lifetime of bowing down to the expectations of society and all that surrounds them. and then the beginning of Tes Zayin on page 38, he was speaking about a shigon, a craziness, a madness, a sickness that people have, that they become complicated and convoluted. And one major cause of this, he says, is explained by Chazal when they say Shabbatol Mevila Dei Shimum. Look on the top of page 39, that's where we're up to. Sibas Machlazu, the cause of this sickness. The cause of this sickness that people are unable to enjoy life and to enjoy their Yiddishkeit in a simple and clear and sincere way, but instead they become overwhelmed by stress and anxiety and they become, in everything that they do, life becomes complicated. They don't have that simple clarity. So he says this is the cause of this is Shabbatolim Mivila De Shimum. Batolim means idleness. Idleness. Having a lot of free time. It's interesting. There was an article in the U.S. News and World Report, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, and a study was made indicating that with the more free time that Americans have, the more depressed they are. The whole tachlis of the 20th century was to free up some of man's time, that he shouldn't have to work so hard. And this way he'll be able to enjoy the simple pleasures of life, which have turned out to be alcohol and marijuana and suicide and other things like that, to enjoy the simple pleasures. And it's really quite frightening. It's really frightening that with every additional moment of spare time that America has achieved, there's more misery. So this American dream of not working is not panning out so far. It's not working. Chazal say, Shabbatol mevila dei shimum, idleness brings to distraction, to boredom. Now, what happens then? So he says, Midiyu kaloshen shimum, that it says clearly shimum, which according to the Mefarshim, shimum doesn't just mean to be bored. It means that you become distracted. You lose focus. Idleness causes a person to lose his focus. That's the main result. It's not a type of insanity. This person appears to be normal and intelligent. This person who has all this spare time, he seems to be normal and intelligent. But he becomes mesubach. He becomes complicated. Umufutal, again, convoluted. One way of thinking within another way of thinking, svar b'svar, below yisod, below emes, without any foundation or truth to what he does. Therefore, the greatest cheaters and liars in the world are those who have nothing to do. People who are betalim. They're not occupied, not mentally, not physically. They become the biggest ramayim. They're the greatest danger to society. But anybody who is oved b'maicha, who is working with his mind, who uses his mind, or even someone that's just engaged in difficult physical labor, that he's a hard-working person, that softens also and focuses one's mind on a tachlis, on a goal. He becomes a person who's focused. These are people who are not for the most part, the cheaters, the liars, the criminals, and so on. This person is not afflicted with this illness. If you want to be a person that's sincere and that's simple, and whose avodas Hashem is real, he says, distance yourself in any way possible from batola, from idleness. This is a major cause of machla, especially if you have a lot of chevra that in yeshiva that they're not motivated. I mean, they're supposed to be in yeshiva 10-12 hours a day, whether it's in Beis Medrash or it's Kollel, and they're supposed to be there the entire day. They don't really connect. A lot of the chevra are not really connecting to the learning, and there's terrible batola, waste of time and boredom that leads to this distraction that leads to a feeling of terrible depression and anxiety that many of the young people are feeling. That if a lot of this chevra that they're not really holding by learning, and they've tried it, if they'd be busy, they'd be occupied with something, if they'd be working, if they'd be helping people, if they'd be doing something, so could you imagine it would be a different picture. In the summer I was giving a shiur someplace, and there was a chashuva, a lady there that made a very important practical ha'ara. This whole issue of kids that are having difficulties in yeshivas and so on, many of the kids that are high risk, and so what can we do? What's the answer? So all these different things that are being devised. She said a very simple thing that of course it'll never happen because it's too simple and clear and inexpensive. Her idea was, if you would take a lot of the kids that they're not doing well, let's say, in learning, they're not motivated in learning, and you've tried, and they're slipping away, and would get them involved with programs, with Ohel, or with disabled, or Mishkan, kids that are Nebuch disabled, or to help with other organizations that are desperate for additional hands. Any time that you take a kid, it could be a kid that seems to be the toughest, the roughest, and the most distant, but if you involve him in programs to help people who are unfortunate, you will see that child's life turned around. 99% of the time, you'll see a different child, because the emes is a yid is a chefetz of kedusha. A Jew is a chefetz of wanting to give and wanting to help, but he feels so. In yeshiva, he feels so unproductive. He feels so, there's so much batola, there's so much idleness that he becomes completely lost. If he would feel productive, if he would feel excited about life, that he's helping someone, he's doing something, he's contributing to Klal Yisrael, it would be a different surah. It would be a different surah. So there'd be a shidduch made between all the organizations it would be Yad Elias. I've seen this with our yeshiva. I've seen some of the boys that you couldn't do anything with them. You couldn't do anything with them in the classroom, and you got them involved. We got them involved in Temchei Shabbos and things like this. They're the biggest tzaddikim. They managed, and not only that, they learn also an hour. Once they're feeling good, once the kid's feeling good about himself, he'll take on a chavrusa. He already sees himself as a tzaddik. He sees himself as a better Jew. Until now, he saw himself. The whole tackle of his life was how during the time of Seder that the Rebbe shouldn't see that he's just not doing anything, right? How to get away with not doing anything. But if you take the same guy and you give him a tackle in life, and he feels good about himself, so then he doesn't have to look for things on the street. Because what does he get on the street? On the street he feels good because he's respected, and the other guys think he's okay, and you know the girls think that they think he's okay, so. He needs to see that he's productive, and it's not happening in Bav Metziah for him. For some guys, it does happen, Baruch Hashem. But there never was such a thing that every single person had to sit till he was 20, 21, 22, and if not, then you're a low yitzchok in Europe, and in the Sephardic countries, there was never such a thing in the history of Klal Yisrael that a person should feel that he's a low yitzchok if he can't accomplish much in learning by the time that he's 17, 18, 19. So then you go to work, you do something. I mean, you keep him busy, helping Jews, whatever. So the Rebbe here is saying that this is the greatest danger. Harchek is atzmacham and batola, idleness. To feel that your life is irrelevant, to feel an emptiness in your life. Valta da'amalacha should...
What's the matzah keshet?
That's the lashon that's used by in the Torah to express a great distance. That's you have that with Yishmael and Hagar in the desert. Kimatachve keshes. V'alta damalacha shadaylacha. Shadaylacha bahazara. I think the distance of the arrow being shot. Shadaylacha bahazarazcha shetizor shalatabatal sholosh fa'arba shows. Don't think that you're going to escape this sickness of batala because you've worked it out that 3 or 4 hours of the day you're going to be busy. Don't think that this is something that will solve the problem. Higanav wa yetzahara, because the yetzahara is very clever. He's a thief. V'day lo shibatlucha asor regoim, and if he can get you to battle for 10 minutes, he's already accomplished something. He's excited. He's already accomplished something. V'yichpal oid asor, and then it'll be another 10 minutes. Oid asor b'yoyim v'nizbal b'lo kol machshav yisecha gam b'shar yom. It causes all your thoughts to become confused and muddled for the rest of the day when you live in this way of batala. This has brought to modern society gilei raya shvichas dam and avodah zara. Poshut. This what the Rebbe's talking about. What's happening now in society? It destroys shalom bayis. It destroys everything. The fabric of all of society has been ruined by this. What Chazal say? Shabbatala mevia lidei shiyamun.
Last we were talking about at the end of a person that denies things completely. I'll say something white and I'll say it's black, right?
Yeah, so this person gets become. Yeah, so there's one of the major sibas, the person becomes lost in all kinds of demyonis. He's not focused. In other words, you're creating human beings who are not thinking in a way, who are not living in a way that is clear and that's focused and that's directed. And the effect that has upon all of one's machshavas is that you become a mabulbul. You become a person that's confused, and that all of your thoughts are convoluted and complicated. Even though you would think that this person everything should be so poshut. After all, he's got a lot of time on his hands. He should be relaxed and so on. But that's what we see that it hasn't brought, this additional spare time has not brought to happiness, it hasn't brought to productivity, it's brought to misery. Because this is not the teva of a human being. The teva of a human being is that his adam la'omol yula, that he was created to labor, he was created to work, and to bring his koiches out l'poil, to activate his koiches. And a person who is yoyishiv bottled, that he's idle, so he's bringing himself closer to that threshold of insanity, because he's not being mitzias kaiches el apoyel. Yeah. Bezeis apecha, it wouldn't have had things not gone wrong, then it could have been, and it will be, that every single one of us will find tremendous fulfillment and enrichment in amelus of Torah and amelus and ruchnias and growing in spiritual levels, and we'll be completely preoccupied every single second of our lives with growing closer to Hashem. But in this world, after the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, when we've lost that Eitz Chaim, that simple way of living and that clarity, so then it's true. Then you're right. Then on some level. Bezeis apecha, unfortunately, as Chazal say, that Adam la'omal yulad, man was created to work. The tachlis is not physical labor. The tachlis is that it should be amelus of Torah. It should be amelus in learning. It should be amelus in ruchnias. But because of our averus, unfortunately, we're far from that. And in this world of the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, one of the healthiest things is for a person to be constantly engaged in work. If you're a zocher to be a person who's able to be focused in learning, and to sit and to put in a full day of learning, ashrecha v'tov lach, the world exists for such people. Wow, if you have somebody like that could sit and learn all day, that's the tachas of creation. But for the person who feels that he's unable to, and he's not honest with himself, and he drifts into this idleness, this is in Eretz Yisrael, this is a major machla, a major sickness that has destroyed so much Shalom Bayis. And anybody that's, if you speak to anybody in Eretz Yisrael that's involved in the yeshiva world, in the Haredish world, that's honest and is telling you, knows what's going on, really, that this sickness is destroying one family after another. Where there are people who they feel embarrassed already at this point to go to work. They don't know what to do for a living. And they feel tremendous pressure in that society that if they go to work, that means that they're unsuccessful, and and they don't find any fulfillment in learning, or minimal fulfillment in learning, and it goes by year after year after year of people who are becoming more and more driven to despair, because they're Jews, they're not being mitzvah kaiches al apol, they're not accomplishing. And when people are not accomplishing and they're not focused, they become lost in this sickness that the Rebbe is talking about. K'may rekev hi habatola. Idleness is like a rekev, like a pollution. It's like a pollution. Shaloyas mekayim b'vadi mechala, ragama al yamin v'gam al smali misparetes. Idleness that causes pollution. That causes this pollution. It doesn't just affect one's immediate environment or the dalet amos of one's life. Ragam al yamin v'gam al smoli misperetzes. Idleness has the ability, this batola and this sickness that results from batola, it goes way beyond the little dalet amos of that person, and it affects his children, it affects his friends, it affects his family in the deepest way. Yeah. Gamis makom habori mechalom afsid, that it destroys even that part of life that is healthy, that is clear. Ois yudzai. He says, Yadanu shekolkach murgal ha'adam lahoiker as das v'seichel ha'anoshi. We know that it's so ingrained in people to respect and to value public opinion. It's so ingrained to worry, to be concerned about what other people think, of what society, what other people think. Ashekoshaloi lahovin es dvareinu elu. That it's difficult for you to even understand what I'm talking about. To understand what is it that I'm saying. That I'm demanding, meaning that the Torah demands of a person to be sincere and to be simple. It was to just be, as we spoke about last week, like that child that answers in a way that's direct and clear, and whenever the child is speaking, it's his nefesh speaking. It's not who I want to be, who I want you to think that I am. He is speaking. The child himself is speaking. Until he learns from the adults that if he speaks, that he's not going to be matzliach. But the child, when the child is speaking, it's the nefesh of the child is speaking. As the child gets older, he learns more and more. Very tragically, he learns that he has to speak in a way that's going to impress those around him. And part of that will have to do with speaking like the characters that he's mimicking from the television or whatever it is that he's addicted to. And there's a total and complete loss of that simple, sincere self, that's that tomim and poshet type of a personality. He says, now that I've written all of this, how we have to be simple and sincere, it seems, he says, we're so caught up in society's expectations that after I've written this, you must think that what I'm asking you to be is stupid. I'm asking you to be an idiot, to be some sort of a dumb fool that doesn't make a cheshbon of what he's saying, and just lives like some sort of a hick, without any thought, without any concept of depth. Aval misha maksha kushi yizu. He says, however, whoever is wondering about this, whoever is asking within himself this kasha, this question, and why does the Rebbe want me to be an idiot? Lehevin is etzem kavanas devarenu. What he's saying is that you talk are an idiot, basically. That's what he's saying. It's because you don't understand what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about. Ve'efshe sha'ars. Now listen to what he says, what a profound thing he says here. This is really something remarkable. He says, Vepsher, it could be that the reason why do you think this way? In other words, when I'm talking about pashtus and tmimus and being like a child and being sincere and simple, why does this strike you that I'm talking about, that it seems to you that I'm asking you to be stupid? So I'm asking you to be like some sort of a fool. Why does it seem to you that way? He says, perhaps, it could be that the poison of the tree of knowledge causes this. The poison of the sin of Adam Rishon has caused this inside of us. Sheyachshev es yediyas ha'olam. The what? That we think, that a person thinks that yediyas ha'olam, what the world knows, being a person who is well-informed, is well-educated, being an opinionated, convoluted person, u'bechlal ha'yediyas shel tov v'ra, being a person that sees that conflict and complications are a necessary part of life. Listen, b'chalal yidiyah shel tov v'ra yidiyah shebo min ha'sofik u'pisuach al shtei ha'seifim shel tov v'ra. He says we've tasted so much from the tree of knowledge of good and evil to the point that we see dichotomization as something which is good. In other words, really, the greatest tragedy is that man ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that as a result of that, he's stuck in this miserable conflict where he often can't see in a simple and clear way right from wrong, good from evil. He says that's a tragedy. That's a big rachmanis that we're stuck in this mess. But what's more dangerous, what's the greater danger is that a person after a while begins to think that this is taka good. This is the way it's. In other words, simplicity is stupid. Simplicity is silly. When you see, if you show somebody that has somebody that considers himself to be very educated and he's read every editorial in the New York Times for the last 25 years, and he sees some little yiddle sitting someplace with a tail, and he looks at him like he's a brute, a boor, like, you know, this guy's not with it. He's not up. You know, he doesn't watch CNN. He doesn't read the Wall Street Journal. He doesn't understand the bigger picture in the world. He's not filled with the ideas, and so on. You tell a parent that your kid's gonna go to yeshiva. He's really into learning. He just wants to learn. He doesn't want to go for a higher education. The parent nowadays thinks that the kid's an idiot. And I've had many parents that'll tell the kid, you don't have to do anything with your education. I just want you to be educated. So he says, I want to learn the Ktsois, then I want to learn the Nesivis, I want to learn Bav Metzia, Bav Akam, Bav Rasa. But there's no, I want you to be an educated person. As, in other words, not that I'm against, I'm not talking against the education for the person, it would save many people from the idleness that we were talking about before. But what I'm saying is this view that we have in modern times, that the more of a dichotomy, the more dichotomy a person lives, or the more complicated one's thinking is and one's life is, the greater the person. That's just because we've eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The emes is that what man should struggle for is to return to the tree of life. The Eitz HaChaim. And the Eitz HaChaim means clarity and simplicity. It doesn't mean stupidity. It doesn't mean that Chassam Sofer was very bright. Was very, very bright. And so was Reb Chaim Brisker. Very fine people, very bright people, very productive people. But he says, Lahikira v'lechroila faneha. That because of this mistake that is the result of eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we bow down and we worship conflict and complication. We worship that as something which is choshev, and we see sincerity and simplicity. We see that as a lack of das. That's something the guy's just not he's not educated. He's not educated. he has emunah pshuta, and he's sweet and simple and sincere, but he's not an educated person. He's not an educated person. Vesatmimus yachshav lebaorus v'tipshus, and when a person is tamim, when a person is very sincere, it's in this person's eyes like stupidity. However, Avol Shvachos Yaakov Avinu Hu Ishtam, the greatest praise the Torah had for Yaakov Avinu was that he was an Ishtam, a whole and simple person. That doesn't mean he wasn't brilliant. Yaakov was brilliant, but he wasn't caught up in this in the Tov and Ra. He wasn't being pulled in a million directions. Tomim Tiyem Hashem Yisbarach. The Torah says, Tomim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Hu mekor ha-chokhma. Hashem is the mekor ha-chokhma. Hashem is the source of all wisdom. Ve'echad mitarav hu chacham. And the Rebbeinu Shalom, one of the names of this we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's a chacham. Tomim tiyam Hashem alokecha, this tmimus, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the chacham of all chachamim, and yet he's tam umitamam im tmimim. Should we say Yom in the Rhyme? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tam umitamam im tmimim. That means that the Rebbeinu Shalom prides himself on tmimus. Now anybody that thinks, therefore, if you think that tmimus, sincerity and simplicity is a sign of ignorance, yeah, you're going to have a hard time explaining that sentence of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prides himself. Hashem is Baruch says he's a tam. Hashem is Baruch is a tam. Right? So he's tam umitamim im tmimim. That the Baruch Hu, that's not a contradiction to the meter that Hashem has, that he's the chacham, that he embodies all wisdom. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the chacham. Adrabba, he says just the opposite. The definition of tam and its applications in all situations is an involved subject. So let's say yes, but there's still a difference between the tamimus of Yaakov and Noach. But I don't want to go into that now. But he says, Adrabba, chachma amitis. He says, Adrabba, true chachma, chachma tahara, chachma that's pure, chachma shehi bepashtus tamimus vados hi. It is a chachma that is simple, that's sincere, and it's certain and absolute. There's a once some years ago, Purim time, I learned a little bit in one of the shiurim, the chevra. There's in the Oris HaKodesh, in the first chelik of the Oris HaKodesh of Rav Kook, he has a whole, you never saw this in any other sefer, there's a section here. There's a section here that's called Havadaut, Havados Hamakaris. He says, original certainty. There's a whole section here of around 10 pages where Rav Kook discusses Vados. Vados means certainty. It's really very, every single piece here is very remarkable, it's very difficult. Let me read to you a few sentences from one of the Torahs here on this section of Vados, of certainty. He says, "Amistaklim hapnimiyim." Those who are gazing at the inner life, meaning those Jews who are thinking about the neshama, those people who are learning pnimiyus haTorah, that are learning the depths of Torah. "Amistaklim hapnimiyim enim uform klal b'mahalach heginaseim b'nei haseder shel hestaklus achitzayna." Those who are the mistaklim hapnimiyim, who are looking at things in the inner way, they don't become confused and lost because of the contradictions that appear in the outer world. She'ena hilamis esidram. Hem yodim she'olamam olam vadai hu. They know that their world, which is the inner world of who they are, is an olam vadai, is a world of certainty. That's what the kids are not getting these days. They're bechlal not getting that. So the second they come to a certain professor in college, it says, that is all a lot of hogwash and... And who said, this guy meets up with a pretty girl, that's it, he's finished. Because he doesn't have that inner life that's vadai. He doesn't have that clarity, that tmimus, that's vadai, that's certain. So the only way that one is not confused by the contradictions that are surrounding him is if what? If he's a mistakel hapnimi, he's a person that lives with a clear awareness of that inner world that is vadai shmo kein tehiloso. It's vadai. It's absolutely clear and certain. But nowadays, society raises a person to think that if you're intelligent, you don't buy things like that. If you're really an intelligent person, you have to be toivera. In other words, if you're intelligent, you have to be confused. If you're really intelligent. Anybody who lives with a sense of vados, who lives with that certainty, who lives with that clarity, that he's looked upon as being a shaita, as being an idiot. He's an idiot. But he says, these people who are the mistaklim, he says, Heim yodim sholomam olam vadayhu. Therefore he says, vahastiros, contradictions, shabos mi olam acher, that are coming from outside, from the... Einan tovsos makom etzlam klal. Doesn't bother him at all. Doesn't affect this person at all. because he has that vados. It doesn't affect him. He doesn't care. It doesn't make a difference to him. Somebody came up with a theory today that there's no God. So then a person who doesn't live with this vados, he gets nervous. If he reads the article, he stops putting on tefillin. And if he doesn't read the article, it haunts him that maybe there's something that I missed over there. Right? Maybe there's something there. He doesn't have a strong basis in vados. A lot of this has to do with the fact that the kids are not being, that we're not being brought up to, with Amunah, with Poshe, with Amunah, with, you know, with Ramchal and Maharal, and to know what the truth is. We're not being taught that. A person's entire life, he's, if he asks about anything, then the answer is, Smach Leikis. So, his whole life is torn into two pieces. When a person's inner world is vadai, then all the machlokes in the world don't affect him. Eina tefes mokim es lo klal. Ul bruri hi lahem ha'emes lamita. The truth is absolutely clear to them. Shekol hasteris, that all the contradictions that are in the world, einan el lefitnai ha'seichel ha'metzumtzum. It's only because of man's limited seichel. That man's mind, man's way of looking at reality is so metzumtzum. Is so tiny, is so miserably small. She'ein lo erech klalim ha'emes ha'gadola, that he's not able, that man's mitzumtzum dikah way of looking at reality can't in any way relate to the greater truth, to the emes ha'gadola, which he knows with vados inside of himself. V'achlatos ha'atzmes. Imitoch yediyah behirazu, and this Jew who has this yediyah behira, this clear awareness of truth within himself, that it's vadai. Haholeches lefneim haloich ve'or, that goes before him and casts light, it shines, it illuminates his path. Kol ma shehem yoisim es kansim ba'ilamam, the more they enter into that world of clarity, hamolei or v'chayim, that's filled with light and with life, chaye kodesh, a life of holiness, ve'or teres alukim chayim, and the light of the Torah of the living God, they rise even higher in their noble certainty. And that noble certainty that they have within them. And there's all these stories here dealing with the Inyan of Vados. And this is to a large extent what's missing. That's what's meant by Tmimus and Pashtas. And that's something that can be learned. It's something that can be acquired. It's something that one can work at. Because when one clears away all the... when one clears away all the phoniness, all that we've been learning about the last few weeks, all that's convoluted and unreal, then mainly he comes to that pashtus, to that simple truth. But we become so enamored by the voices that are outside of us that we're no longer listening to ourselves. And that's how Rav Kook himself, when he discusses the chait. When he discusses the sin of Adam and Chava, the beginning of man's fall was listening to a voice outside of himself. Was listening to the world. The world at that time was embodied in the snake. Was embodied in the nachash. But the point is that he didn't listen to his inner, to that, he wasn't in touch with that pnimius that Rav Kook is talking about. The beginning of man's downfall is listening to a voice outside of himself. And what's particularly frightening now is now the snake, as Rabbi Chaim Volozhin explains at length, now the snake is talking from within us. It used to be that it was just outside of oneself, so one would hear those voices, but now the voice is speaking from within oneself. And the confusion is even greater, because you think it's you that's talking. It used to be that you knew there was a nachash. Now you think it's mamish you. Adarabba. The part of you that's telling you to, why don't you sit and learn a little bit more, you think there's some outside influence. I was discussing this with somebody yesterday, that he was thinking, this is a fellow that puts in a long day of work, and he's trying to set up a schedule. He's trying to set up a schedule now that he'll be able to put more time into learning. So I said, that's terrific, wow, that's really great. So he said, well, I don't know. So I said, what do you mean? I mean, it sounds great, you're telling me you're going to have more time to learn, and more time, he says, he'll have a little more time with his family because he's trying to cut down. He had some good investments. I said, that's terrific. He says, I'm not sure because maybe I'm just escaping. So I said, what kind of stupid thing is that? This, I mean, So let's say, would you ever hear a person that would like hang around in a place where there are bombs going off, and you say, Rabbi, why don't you leave? He says, I don't know. Maybe I'm just escaping. I don't want to be a person that's just escaping. So he says, an Irish guy. No one says about anything else in the world except the truth. Hashem says, if you want to escape, come. Hashem says, Adrabah, Mizgavi, Menusi, right? Hashem, David HaMelech, he says, run to me. So only here a person says, no. Everything else in the world, I could be an insincere phony, and I'm doing all these crazy things. But then all of a sudden, when it comes time to learning that to spend time with this family, I only want to do it if I'm sincere, and I'm questioning my motivation, my motives. I don't know what my motive is. Maybe my motive is not completely l'shem shemayim. So what's the difference of l'shem shemayim? Not everything else in the world. Well, you make a cheshbon, everything you do, whether it's true. All of a sudden, when it comes to the truth, then maybe it's not. Maybe I'm just escaping. So escape. You run away. What's the problem? As long as he's not irresponsible, God forbid, and it's okay with the family and Parnassus. I'm not saying to do something irresponsible, but he has a beautiful plan, and it's solid. It works. But the shaila is, maybe I'm just going to go. It's like a dream world. What am I going to go sit in the yeshiva? So I said, look, try. Maybe I said, maybe you don't have zitz flights. That you have to see whether you can sit for a few hours a day. Maybe that's. Why shouldn't you try it? Because he's questioning his motives, that maybe it's just some sort of a silly, insincere kind of a thing. So that, now he's worried about insincerity. This is like a craziness. This is a sickness. When he could spend the whole Sunday watching a bunch of murderers jumping on each other in tights, you know, in the football game. That he could watch, and he doesn't make a cheshbon. I don't know. No, why am I doing this? He doesn't have to ask, why do I watch people hurting each other all day long this way? Why do I do that? What do I get out of that? He doesn't make all these cheshbonos. Now, when it comes to learning, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, then all of a sudden, Nachamol is the Eitz Hadas Tovera. Then there's no Vados, then the whole thing falls apart. There's no Pashtus, there's no Tmimus. There's no Pashtus, there's no Tmimus Bechlal. So then he goes on, he says, "Vafilu poshut b'seichel ha'anoishi." He says, even a simple person in a simple way could understand this. You don't have to be a Vilnagon to understand this, he says. Yechayim lahavin ma'at. Could understand. Eich shalei lahoykir lezbatel kol kach harbe lefnei ha'chochma ha'anoshis bechlal. Im kol chidushah shechid shabayil. Even a simple person could understand how it's so silly. It's so silly to be mevatel yourself, to bow down to what society thinks, to all these things that they're coming out with in the world. He says, even in his time, listen to what he says. He says, Yesh rakel hispalei al hamalachtuyas. He says, kunst, right? The kunst is shabar. Kamay al oichze einayim. She's a oimed al roishiv zahilach al yadav. And he says, look, we're so, he says, our problem is that we're so unbelievably impressed by new theories and new ideologies. He says, we're so taken by them. And he says, you know what? You want to be fascinated by new things, new ideas and new inventions and new ways of looking at life. He says, that's okay. The same way that you'd be fascinated by a magician, he says, or some acrobat that he's able to walk on his head or his hands. You could be amazed by it. It's fascinating. In other words, you're fascinated by a magician or an acrobat, but that doesn't mean that you mavata yourself to him and say, if only I could walk on my hands that way. That's something to do in life, to walk on my hands. Or if only I could do that trick. If I could only live that way. In other words, there's a difference between being fascinated and being interested and being mavata yourself to such a thing. He says, you find society fascinating, you find new discoveries, new theories, and so on interesting. So, okay, that's a natural thing for a human being to find these things interesting. But there's a difference between finding it interesting and then in your own lifestyle conforming to a way of life that indicates that you're nothing but an imposter, and all you do is you stomp anything that they come out with in the world. That the next day, that's you. The next day, there are people, anything, any narishkeit that comes out, the latest narishkeit that comes out, this person, the next day in shul, he's already blowing that horn. Tanai, it's a new narishkeit, he's a new mahalach in life. And the next day, there's a different mahalach, there's a different mahalach. He says, you're interested in something, you're fascinated by things, but say that doesn't mean you have to be, that doesn't mean that causes you to lose your vados of who you are. That's what he's saying. Who are you? But our problem is that we begin to identify and we mevatel ourselves before these things that he says that don't last from one day to the next. That don't last from one day to the next. L'moshel, he's choyker b'sichlo achvei pulas kevosis. For instance, a person is choyker, a person is thinking very deeply, how does the digestive system work, right? He's thinking about how does the digestive system work. L'da'asayso ul havina, good. He's an intelligent person, he wants to understand how the digestive system, that's fine. Many chidushim have been published. Many chidushim have been discovered to explain how the digestive system works. We've already seen the lies, and every year they come out with something. He's already saying this back then. Every year they come out with something that says that whatever you thought until now, and not only that, but until now, everybody. This was. Vadai, this was absolutely certain that this is the truth. And then somebody comes up with another study the next year, and now we find out that it was all shaker. And everybody for this list, for the last year, last 10 years, last 20 years, has been bowing down to this idol of shaker. Mamash, false god. Everybody's bowing down to the shaker. That this is it, this is the truth. V'harbe mehem sh'nechshovim ata oil amitim gamalem yavar, because there are some theories that now, he says that now, people still think are true, and says you'll see soon that they're also going to drink the potion of death, which means they're also going to die. These that everybody says this is the absolute truth is also going to go soon. But eizes man yischad shuchadoshim, they're going to be new chidushim. V'yitzchuku gamal oisun vadoyus shmedumus shbiyameinu el, and they're going to laugh. Soon they're going to come up with new things, and they're going to laugh at those things that we said were absolutely certain, that were absolute truth. So other people are going to laugh at what we said, or we're going to laugh ourselves. What we said yesterday was the absolute truth. We're going to laugh at it. Now, what about the stomach itself? Now, that's as far as people who are studying the stomach, who are thinking about the digestive system, that they change every single day. This is the truth. That's the truth. He says, but one thing is certain. The stomach hasn't changed. He says, the stomach is consistent. He says, do you think... Can you imagine if the stomach had to make a cheshbon, to function only if I understand this chiddush, I'm going to work. Baruch Hashem, the stomach doesn't care about our nourishkeit. Can you imagine if the stomach were reading all the books that were written about it, it wouldn't be able to work. It would never work, because the stomach would say, "That's how I work. That's the way I should work. Oh, I didn't know that. Why didn't you tell me?" And then the stomach wouldn't work anymore, because that's a sheker, that's a lie. But we do that all the time. Every single time we hear something in society, we hear something, we say, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be, that's who I'm supposed to be, that's how I'm supposed to work. And then we're not working. It's not working. We're not functioning properly, because we're not functioning in accordance to the tmimus and pashtus of who we are. We're functioning according to the chidushim that society has to explain who we are, which is all sheker. The whole world wasn't bowing down to Sigmund Freud for more than half a century. Sigmund Freud was God. And now serious shine is over a bottle. And what about Darwin? Any serious scientist, I mean, maybe in high school there's some residue of that sheker. Maybe some of the teachers there haven't read things in the last 25, 30 years. But any serious scientist knows this. It's Narishkeit. It doesn't explain life. There are nekudas there that are important, but it's not a theory of life. Doesn't explain the past. But these sichlim, these chidushim, so hanai chidush. Lav rakdei sichlim halalu, oivedes yis avadosa b'lei rash. The stomach just gone. The stomach goes on, it does what it does, it doesn't pay any attention to this nairishkeit. In other words, it has that vados of what it has to do, and it doesn't care. Can you imagine, like, inside the stomach, like the cells are talking from one stomach to another. Did you hear what the professor... You hear what the professor came up with today? Now, can you imagine how they're laughing? The professor says, yeah. That's how we work. The professor says how we work. And then the other one is more of a skeptic. You know, maybe he has a point. Maybe that professor has a point. And then that person can no longer, the stomach can no longer function. The second he starts to listen to that outside voice, he's not going to function. It does its avoidable, rash, oblay, kol elu apilpulim. The stomach doesn't make all kinds of pilpulim. Bibitochen v'yidiyah v'adoz. It does what it does with absolute certainty. B'loi hasharus, it doesn't have to estimate and have theories, doesn't have postulates. B'yidiyah she'ein sofik, doesn't have questions. Yomin is small, the right, the left, toy, the ra, good, evil. Kaidim of Nesha Yeshba Mitzias Chiyas Shashem Samba, because it has that life energy, that clarity that Hashem is infused in it. I don't know if we're going to have time today, but we're going to learn next week a piece from Rabbi Nachman that connects to this. You know, Rabbi Nachman loved Jews that say all the Zmiris, that sing all the Zmiris. Rabbi Nachman himself used to sing all the Zmiris. Even though Rabbi Nachman, you know, was such a complicated, deep person, but there was nothing that he appreciated more than a Jew who just says every single minig the Jews have, every single minig. Like, you know, you'll have somebody that'll say, well, what's the origin of this? It's not clear to me how this made it into the Siddur. So Rabbi Nachman used to say, say all the Zmiris. What's going to happen to you in 120? Because the Baruch Shalom loves those Jews that say all the Zmiris, that they keep all the Minhagim. Instead, someone says, why should I keep this Minig? This Minig goes back to 13th century Romania, and it's because there was somebody there in the Shul that, he had some problem with his lulav, so he took off the rings before Hallel. It has nothing to do with Kabbalah, it's nothing to do with this, nothing to do. So he says, then they end up, they're also all convoluted, confusing lives, where every single thing that they do is not with a Kabbalah, it's not with a Munapshut, it's not with a Tmimas of what was by the grandparents and great-grandparents that holy Jews were doing for thousands of years. Rabbi Nachman used to say, just be poshut, be Tmimas, Dick. What are you going to... He says, you're not taking any chances about that. The stomach doesn't have to go groping like a blind man in the darkness to know what to do. The stomach does what it has to do. Yidiyah below pilpulim, raya v'chachmet tahar, riyah v'chachmet tahar. It just goes with a pure chachma. This is what Hashem told me to do, and I'm doing it. It's man's mind. It's our way of thinking that we've eaten from the tree of knowledge. That's sechel harek, that's empty. Kevin she'ein bari, it doesn't see, the ideas doesn't see and know in the clear way that the stomach knows. Hu mukhvach lefatal pitulim. He has to get into all these pilpulim, these pitulim, these convoluted ideas. La'ar garigas, and to weave all kinds of things and ideas. Ve'yisovech v'svach v'le'he'oches behem. To become trapped in these complications. Sometimes, he says, these scientists or professors stumble upon a piece of truth. It's not because that's what they work to get to. They just happen to stumble upon some truth. In other words, that wasn't even their kavana. They were thinking of something else, and they had all these complicated thoughts about getting to the truth, and that's not what brought them to the truth. They stumbled accidentally upon something. They left cooking overnight. They shouldn't have. So they stumbled upon some truth. Very often they fall like a blind person in the darkness. Vaf b'shor shi'yedeya. And even when they come to some yedeya, rak mikra upgiya, it's only by luck or some circumstance that brought them to that piece of knowledge. V'loy ri'iya v'yedeya amitisi. It's not true and clear, and it's not something which is concrete and clear. It's just that they stumbled upon something, and it's a idea which they themselves don't even trust in 100%. It might be different tomorrow, and we don't know what's going to be. Vilmole hoyu kol b'nei ha'odem b'pashtus t'mimus v'amunus shi'es galus ha'nefesh. If all of mankind would live with this simplicity, this wholesomeness, and this emuna, this faith, which is his galus ha'nefesh, which is when you look at the world like a child does, from the perspective of your own soul, of what's true and what's known, of your own nefesh. Mitzias ve'emes. Ki oz es hakol yeduv uvero b'vados gemura. Then whatever they would see with vados gemura, with absolute certainty. Lo al yedei gishush b'choshech shenikra seichel. Not by groping in the darkness with that which is currently passing in society as wisdom. It's the latest form of wisdom. This today is wisdom. Tomorrow it's going to be Narishkeit. Today it's wisdom. So instead of living that in that world of Sveikas, with what today is considered to be wisdom, one takes hold of the Pashtus and the Tmimus and the Emes and the Emuna and lives according to it. He says V'da'aka. He says on page 41, Shahashek and Nimsa Bekoyach Bish, Arafilim Eino Oyme Shek Bepoyal Eitz Shehu Evan. And the Rebbe says, don't think that I'm talking about a person who's a liar, prost a liar. We're not talking about someone that says a tree is a stone. It's not, we're not talking about liars. These people are not liars. Not this. It's not that kind of a lie. That kind of a lie doesn't worry us so much. I mean, you could work with somebody in a very easy way that has that distortion. We're talking about something else. He says, "V'tmimus emes mitzias anefesh chosolo." We're talking about a person in whose life falsehood has become part of his life. But it's not that the tree is a stone, or he says the day is night. That's not the falsehood that he's talking about. He says that's a kleinigkeit. He's talking about a falsehood that you believe in. He says it's not even that on a certain fact. It's your whole way of looking at life, your whole way of thinking is sheker. Is sheker. Your whole way of thinking is sheker. And I was thinking about this last night. I was looking over the parasha. Maybe I'll talk about this maybe tomorrow or next week in shul. But I was thinking about how what it must have taken for the brothers of Yosef to say Aval Hashem Manachnu, it's our fault. They developed a whole shita. The brothers of Yosef aside developed a whole way of life based upon their evaluation of Yosef and vis-a-vis their own idea of what's right and what's true. For them to admit, to say, this is the last 22, this is all the sheker, this is all wrong. That requires tremendous gurus and nefesh. Because when it comes to us, even if you're in a 15-minute discussion and you're making a certain point, and the guy is bringing all kinds of riots against you, you can't back off. You can't back off. Forget about committing your life to a certain thing. Forget about it. Adarabba, you look at people who live, and they might be living lives of absolute clarity and truth, and you look at them with derision, you think, these are backwards, boorish people. I know the Emes. I know the Emes. And if someone suggests to you, maybe you're wrong, you know, there was a Maisa with a certain maskil, you know, the Haskalah. The Haskalah was the embodiment of everything that the Rebbe was upset about. And it was called the Enlightenment. The Haskalah. So there was a Maisa that there was a certain maskil. There was a fellow that was eating from the Eitz Hadas Tovara, and his Yiddishkeit was becoming very convoluted and lost. And the Maisa was that he decided that he's going to put on a beard and payas, and he's going to make the rounds to have debates and arguments with Gedolim, with great Rabbanim. He wants to shlug up. He was a brilliant guy, and he wanted to shlug up, you know, to go and to cause problems. So he went to a few different places, and he was spreading some of his poison with people in the Bis Medrash and talking this and that, and he went, he looked like an Elohid. then he was told, you want to meet somebody really interesting, really fascinating, go to Badichev. There is Reb Levi Yitzchak Badichev. So he heard this is a big catch. He wants to go, he's smart, he wants to go, he's going to go get into a debate with the Badichev. So, first of all, he was very annoyed because he had to wait like 4 hours for the Badichev to finish davening. He had to wait for Shachris. He has to wait hours until the Badichev finished davening. And they saw, you know, he was talking and learning. He was a sharp guy. So they're going to let him in after davening. He's a guest and he's a chosh of a guy. They're going to let him in. So the Maisa was that he came in, and the Badichev, you know, used to run a lot, like a child. You know, you're talking about how children run always? It was after davening, he was putting his tefillin away. And he was running back and forth across his room, putting his tefillin away. And he was saying things like, and putting his tefillin away. The Badichev did everything in his very... And he was like this, and this man looked at this, and he was awestruck by the sight of the Badichev. He wrote about this, that he was very taken by this sight. And then the Badichev is running back and forth with the talus over his head, winding the tefillin, and all of a sudden the Badichev stops, takes the talus over his head, he looks at him, goes right like 2 inches from his face, and he says, "Maybe you're wrong." Just like that, "Maybe you're wrong." And he started to cry, and he broke down. He wrote about this. He says, "Maybe you're wrong." Just like that. Because when it came from the Badichev, you understand, in such a way. So someone will laugh at that Maisa. What do you mean, maybe? So he should have said, "Maybe you're wrong." Nah. Because he knew inside of himself that it's all stam. It's a lot of hocus pocus. But when it came out from the Tzadik with such a fire and with such clarity, There's another, they say that, I told this to you once in the shul, that there was a maisa from the, there was a Jew that was getting lost in all kinds of philosophical, he was also a smart chevroman, he's getting lost in all kinds of thought. What was bothering him? What was bothering him is that he couldn't, he was having problems believing in Hashgacha Pratis, and that how could Hashem is Baruch know everything, and Hashem knows what I'm thinking, and if Hashem knows what I'm thinking, you know, you get crazy, kids get it, you know, you get crazy. Hashem knows what I'm thinking, what I'm going to do, and Hashem, how could it possibly be that God knows everything that I'm thinking, that I'm feeling, and so there was a maaseh that he was getting, this guy was getting crazy. I told this to the initial, the guy was getting meshuggah with this, it was bothering him so much. So in his town, he started arguing with people, and it's not, so they told him, you know what are you arguing with us, we don't know anything. Go to Karetz, and there's the Rebbe Pinchas Karetz. Go to Pinchas Karetz, he's an Adam Gadol, I'm not a chosid, I'm go to Rebbe. What's the difference? He's an Adam Gadol, go to Pinchas Karetz. So the maaseh was that he's going with all this confusion, and he goes over there, he comes to Karetz, he asks, where's the Rebbe live? And he comes and he sees Rebbe Pinchas Karetz sitting on a porch with a Gemara and a Shtandar. And he walks over there and he's passing by, and he's a little nervous to come to the Tzaddik, and Rebbe Pinchas Karetz hears something, looks up from the Gemara, and he looks at his Yid and he says, if I know, don't you think the Rebbeinu Shlom knows? I know. You think he doesn't know? And that was the end of the whole story. No. It's a pashtus. It's a pashtus. It's a tmimus. But we get lost in the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. All right, Mishnah Shem will continue next week to learn more how to get out of that Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. Good Shabbos.